What's going on, y'all? You're listening to Chain Reaction, and I am your host, Jeremiah Mitchell, joined today by Jeremiah Harding. How are you doing, sir? Looking good. You look kind of clean for you.
Yeah, I don't know. I've had more sleep than normal. That probably has something to do with it. And so my energy levels are more natural right now than they have been. Like, instead of 4 hours or 2 hours, I got actually 7.5 heavily interrupted hours. So I think things are looking up.
That's nice, how about you? Man. Sleep is good. How about me?
Yeah.
My sleep? Less than normal this weekend, but I do all right. In my early 20s, I used to do, like, 4 hours was pretty standard. And then I got older and I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's weird. It was like starting at 25, going sleepless became increasingly difficult. Sleep is one of the things I wish we didn't do as humans. I wish our bodies just recovered with food.
Well, you know, I like sleep. Because what it means is that things happen while I'm asleep and my life can be longer and be generally more effective. But what I don't like about sleep is that when I don't get enough of it, things are not as cogent as I'd like. A lot of the time I'll get I'll get to that point of the morning when, like, it's a couple of hours from dawn, and I'm like, maybe I shouldn't be awake anymore. But I'll just, you know, I'll do one more post, and then it'll be done. You know, and then I do, like, you know, 2 more hours worth of posting, and the sun is coming up, and I'm like, fuck.
Yeah, I just want to always be awake doing things. I mean, I'm a very productive person. Defenders on Netflix and playing around with my phone aren't going to just happen on their own. I need to be an active participant in it. So I need to, you know, as much time as I can have. What's that?
Yeah, and you know, I mean, I'm probably going to take a lot of time, like the end of November.
Yeah.
Because the new Sonic 3D game is coming out, and so I have to buy that and beat every level with an S rank.
Right. I mean, if you didn't do that, think about the repercussions. They're unimaginably horrific if you would not engage in that kind of behavior. Well, our show today,
Eggman might win.
Yeah, Eggman might win. Everyone's scared of Trump. What about Eggman?
Well, Trump is Eggman, so that works out. Like, I'm actually doing a video on that shortly.
Yeah, all right, that sounds interesting. Our show today, we might have a guest a little later to talk about thick and thin libertarianism, but it's looking like not. They're vacillating a little bit, which is totally understandable. It's a person I only know from social media, but I appreciate the way that they conduct themselves on Twitter, which a lot of people, I think, take it a little overboard. I don't know. I appreciate them.
Well, a lot of people use Twitter in the short character. Yeah, well, a lot of people use Twitter in the short character limit as an excuse to say that because it has a short character limit, I'm going to be as much of an asshole and an entertaining one as possible in a short a sentence as possible. And so it ends up being sniping. Yeah, well, I mean, like, so it ends up being a sniping match when it could be a conversation. That's why when Twitter finally decides to unleash the beast and give me my 280 character limit, things are going to change a lot.
The whole world. So,
Yeah, definitely.
couple weeks ago, today is October 15th. 2017, was it like almost 2 weeks ago exactly, or was it just last week when there was the Vegas shooting? I can't keep dates straight in my head.
I think it might have been either 2 or even 3 weeks ago. It's been a while.
I think it was 2 then, because I believe we would have talked about it, right, on our last episode 2 weeks ago.
Well, anyway. It happened on Monday morning.
Right. So let
me check.
About 2 weeks ago. It's not that important, but Stephen Paddock had like 30 guns or something like that. Oh, that's a pleasant noise. In a hotel room, Mandalay Bay on the 32nd floor in Vegas, and killed like about 60 people and 500 total. About, was it at 500 or like 300 total were injured?
It was like 530 something.
Yeah. And a lot of that's just from, he shot into a country western music concert. Which, why would anyone go to that anyway? Just stay away from country music. I think a lot of people injured were injured in just the trampling of the crowd dispersing in violent and aggressive ways.
Shit gets scary. Yeah, well, every man for himself, or, you know, woman for herself, or trans for shimself. But, you know, the whole... because there's so much to talk about.
Yeah.
But the whole debate turned into guns instead of, like, if this country would never ban pocket knives. But if somebody went through a crowd and stabbed a bunch of people, that literally they wouldn't talk about knives. They would talk about mental health. They would talk about education and reforms and blah, blah. But I don't think most people would talk about knife control, because that's considered a personal defense weapon and a tool. Whereas you can't do X with a gun, so you don't need it. So it's all about gun control when it fucking shouldn't be. You know, object. It's not the object that causes the incident. It's the inciter that causes the incident.
Yeah.
We should talk about that.
Let's stay away from gun control for just a second. What are your thoughts on the story of the Las Vegas shooting generally?
The official story?
Yes.
Total bullshit.
Do you have any suggestions or reasons why?
I can't stress this enough on anything I'm involved with. I always plug TruthStream Media.
Yeah.
They're fantastic, and one of their recent videos was on the qui bono of the situation, the who benefits. And the who benefits was this security contracting company that Trump sucked up to during one of the debates. And they benefit directly because now all of their scanners are being considered to scan incoming bags to all hotel rooms in Vegas, or to all hotel lobbies in Vegas.
Yeah, which was, I don't know if it's the same company, but I mean, there was a Reddit post from about a month ago where someone warned that there would be something bad would happen in Vegas soon. Their eyes were on Vegas in an attempt to get some sort of scanners and some sort of company merger for these scanners in 2020, I believe, made into Nevada law, is what this anonymous user said. That doesn't mean this was a government created false flag, but I don't know what to think about these things. I usually don't take a position on anything just because it's easier, and for me to actually figure out what's going on would require, I think, going to Vegas and conducting a lot of interviews with individuals who were there.
Well, I mean, that's one of the cool things about the net, though, is because you can see some of those individuals. Like the woman who claimed that people were going to die, that they were all in danger at the front of the mosh pit.
Is that on video?
Standing thing. It's on video. Okay. And the reporter kept on interrupting her and you know, pulling back the microphone and saying that the Las Vegas police didn't agree with that. And so really hammering down the official narrative. And so you watch all these interviews with people, and they specifically say that essentially the thing sounded planned, and there was a whole lot that they weren't being told or that they weren't allowed to say. And when you look at, for instance, which I sort of connected these dots before they came out with the video, but TruStream Media did another great video on Operation Northwoods, and one of the lines in the line items was to create fake victims with fake interviews to push the narrative that it was definitely the other guys and not the U.S. government. And this was rejected, but like the outright proposal, but a lot of aspects of it were later found to have been implemented, Northwoods specifically.
Right.
And the way that it was done was found to have been the sort of thing that had been done for a long time. And this was just one of the proposals that was rejected. You know, they do this sort of thing, like I think it was the Santa Maria, which was sunk to justify an invasion of Vietnam or something, or the Gulf of Tonkin incident, which never happened.
Right.
Things. So, I mean, they've lied people into conflicts or into capitulations before, and I don't think that they would stop here. But there's also an interesting video that just surfaced, whether or not it's from today, of what appears to be muzzle flashes coming from an overhead helicopter. So,
yeah. Hard to tell with these kind of things. It's one of those things where you get tons of different stories and people claiming multiple shooters from the group of victims, but you can't trust people that are being shot at, you know, your normal average everyday citizen, to give a reliable account of anything that's going on. I mean, even when they talk very, very definitively about it, it's like you were running in a crowd with bullets flying at you. Your ability to accurately take in information is probably severely hampered.
And people don't know what the information, how to interpret the information. Like, there was this video of these people getting into this taxi cab where this woman was seeing people just standing around nonchalantly like nothing was happening at the bottom of the Mandalay Bay Hotel while gunfire was audibly there. And, like, looking up and seeing that bottom floor broken out window with the either muzzle flash or strobe light, depending on who you talk to. So she gets these people in her cab, she's taking them away. And I have this video downloaded. I'll upload it to something or other if it's nowhere to be found. So, you know, that's where you come in, commenters. Tell me if I need to fucking out myself as a conspiracy theorist again on another platform. But she takes these people into her car and one of them's like, you know, it's, that sounds like an AR-15. And she's like, AR, I'm a girl. I don't know what that is. And they're like, assault rifle. And so,
which is not what an AR-15 is, it's, by the way.
It's Armalite. And everybody knows that who knows about guns, but, you know, fucking whatever. So people might not be able to accurately interpret the information even if they saw it, even if it was there. And, you know, there's the other part of that that my cynical brain jumps to. What if the multiple shooters angle was something that they knew they could rely on happening because there would be guns at that concert, you know? What if people brought out their guns and tried to go all Rambo on the situation, get to the shooter and, you know, disable them and be the hero of the day, be the good guy with the gun?
I think it was a gun-free...
Just walking around with guns.
I think it was a gun-free concert. Not that necessarily was, but...
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Okay. I don't think it was gun-free. I don't think anything was gun-free that day. Even the hotel, which was also gun-free. You're not allowed to have guns in the hotel, and yet somehow he got, like, fucking what, 23 up there? And 23 guns, by the way, all for one person. All for that one person who had a stockpile of magazines and barely any bullets in the room, or sorry, casings in the room, for all those bullets he pumped into the crowd. It just does not add up. Doesn't.
Yeah. It's so hard knowing what to believe, but The two things that to me are kind of crazy is all the stories of people who had their phones taken from them and the data deleted. Yep. Okay, well, you're doing that. You're up to some sketchy shit, or you're trying to pretend you're up to some sketchy shit so people focus on Vegas while you do something else with your other hand. And the official story is so stupid. The last I saw what the official story was is that 6 minutes before the shooting, a security guard was shot by Stephen Paddock, and then the shooting started, and then 72 minutes later, Las Vegas, you know, SWAT or PD or whatever actually came to stop the shooter. So you're telling me it took police to respond, you know, we'll say the phone call was a minute later, it took them 77 minutes to get there and respond and stop this from happening, or at least interfere enough that it stopped, that he stopped shooting. Now, I know that the police are inept, and especially so in poor neighborhoods. If you've ever lived in one of those, they generally tend to be very, very slow to respond. But they're not that damn slow, and they're definitely not that damn slow in Vegas. I'm sure they're all over the place there. I've never been to Vegas, so I don't know, but I'm guessing that so much like, sort of sketchy shit goes on with a bunch of drunk people in Vegas that there's just a lot of cops, a strong police presence there, and there's a ton of money, so there's more likely to be more of a police presence there.
Well, now, also because of the nature of Vegas and the way it's outlined and the way everything is surrounded by cameras, it's a security haven, so they do fucking conferences there for security professionals. I think that's where and you know, I don't know, so I might be wrong about this, but I think that's where DEF CON is held. You know, it's where you go if you want to have a conference about security, because it's fairly secure and you can rely on having enough security in the area that it'd be very difficult to penetrate that. So you come to one of the most secure places in the USA, which is used by government officials to have security conferences and also private sector individuals involved in security. And somehow this hotel, all the 1,000 cameras, lost all the footage just in time for the media to request it, and just in time for this guy to have snuck a huge amount of guns up to his room over several days. I don't believe that for a second.
Yeah, I mean, it's just an unhappy coincidence, Harding. You know, yeah. They just happened to not have any of the footage.
At this sort point. Of like and Hillary's emails, huh?
Yep, that was convenient too. It's one of those things where in a few weeks, probably, maybe this week, they'll come out with a few more videos that show Paddock doing a few things that are highly... not doctored, but highly specifically chosen, and then they'll say, see, here's the videos that evidence the story that we told you was true. But as far as people actually having access to all the real videos and all the videos that were present, it seems very unlikely. I'm hopeful that enough people were, you know, on the scene and I don't know what you call them, internet journalists, compilers of video information can get a decent story about what happened based upon people personally who had cell phones who are posting videos online about various things. I haven't looked into it very deeply because that's these holes, man. I just don't want to go down them. There's too much, and there's so much disinformation too, I believe.
Why I try not to spend too much time on any specific thing in a day.
Yeah.
But I try and hit as many different things in that day as possible. So I spent like an hour or two, like every day since this happened, like looking at a little bit more and more of the information. And what I can tell you is that none of the official story is true. None of it.
Yeah, I mean, I won't affirm that, But I do think anyone listening, from what I've seen so far, this looks like kind of a fascinating sort of conspiracy to explore, or event to conspiracy to explore is not the right way to phrase it, but a fascinating event to seek the truth about, precisely because investigate. Thank you. You found my word. There's such a variety of actual information because Vegas is such a highly populated area and everyone has cell phone cameras. And this was an event in wide out in the open. So as far as things that have happened that people are wondering, did the government do this? Are they responsible for doing this? This feels like one that you might be able to get somewhere definitive or somewhere close to definitive on. I'm probably wrong about, you know, whether or not they did. But I think it's pretty clear, given their lack of ability to respond and stop this, and I say that skeptically, but that either government's completely useless or they're the cause of this stuff. Either they can't fix it or they're the ones doing it.
Yeah. Well, not to get too Faraday cagey, but it could be a little bit of both. It could be planned obsolescence on the government's part, where they don't do something when they could have because they know they can exploit it. But right. So, let's say they knew this was going to happen. You know, somehow their massive NSA spy network actually worked. And they found out that this guy was going to do all this shit, and they got the drop on a team that he was maybe helping arm, and that's why he brought so many fucking guns.
Can we pause for a second? Would the point of bringing that many guns, as opposed to just a couple with a lot of magazines for each, at least on, you know, the surface level, be out of concern that the barrels would get too hot? And you'd want to switch guns? Is that like the reason that you would give for why he would bring that many guns? I'm not that familiar. Okay.
But so if that was the case, though, clearly he didn't mind breaking the law. So he could have gotten the guns illegally. Those guns were legally purchased. He could have gotten the guns illegally. You know, he could have brought the guns in that were illegal and maybe done something belt fed. He could have killed so many more people.
Yeah, it's harder to get illegal guns, though.
Not very.
I don't know. It sounds hard to me. Maybe Stephen Paddock's like me, except maybe I don't want to compare myself to him.
Well, I mean, maybe, but maybe he knew exactly what he was getting into, and the reason he brought so many guns when he could never have fired them all before the police would have shown up is because he had a team he was expecting, and they all needed enough guns to fire before the barrels heated up to the point where they wouldn't be usable. And then those barrels would have heated up, they would have dropped the guns, they would have unloaded the magazine, loaded in another one to their next gun, and started firing again. That makes sense to me, you know? But what doesn't make sense to me is having a cache of ammunition that size next to that pillar in the photo, and having, you know, all those guns lying everywhere, and enough space for a spotter and like several gunmen, and not using it all, you know, because, you know, why? You know, so I don't think he just like overestimated the amount of people he could kill and the amount of time he had. I think he was expecting more people to come and assist, and for whatever reason, they weren't there. And, you know, my real Faraday Cage moment is that he's a patsy for an operation that the U.S. government planned to highlight gun control as a sensitive subject for right-wingers because they would primarily be there at the concert.
Well, you know, in some ways, it kind of reminds me of the Orlando shooting, just because there's such a lack of response and it took forever to respond. And then you just have really weird things the shooting in Orlando. I think that was like a year and a half ago or so, where no one died until the SWAT team showed up. And then he had very close, I believe it was FBI connections, and it was actually brought in by the FBI multiple times, right? Or was it the CIA? No. Orlando shooter.
Oh, okay. I don't remember that one.
I think it was FBI. But it just generally, we know that the FBI, when they brag about foiling terrorist plots, it's always people that they pursued who they know were vulnerable, that they convinced to do a terrorist act, and then they stop them, and then they brag about how great it is that they stop these people. But I don't know if they've deliberately not stopped anyone, but it's certainly possible that they've accidentally not stopped some people.
Yeah.
What were Stephen Paddock's connections? I know he's got some government
his father,
connections there. Okay.
FBI.
His father, FBI, because his father was like a bank robber or some shit like that? Is that what happened?
Something like that.
And then got in with them. Yeah, I don't know. He sounds like he had a really shitty life, and sometimes people with really shitty lives do crazy shit. They're certainly more prone to it. But
yeah, well, I'm not. To me, my personal response to that is he didn't seem like he was going to kill himself. He didn't seem like he was going to decide that it wasn't worth it. He didn't seem that psychologically imbalanced. If it makes sense for me to say that about a mass murderer, he seemed like he was up there doing what he thought he would get away with, and that's why he sent somebody he was very close to down $100,000 so that he could go spend that with her when he got away scot-free, like in Ocean's 11, but with much more murder.
It does make sense that he would send someone he loved a bunch of money before he did this anyway, even if he was planning on dying just so she would have a bunch of money. But I have seen some other articles and evidence that, like you're saying, he thought he was going to get away with this. And the only reason why you would think you might be able to get away with this, I would think, is because you are doing it on behalf of the organization whose job it is to stop you.
Yes.
You know, somehow involved in the state. I don't know why else you would think you, from the 32nd floor, you would be able to get away with this thing. There's just no way. Not that he necessarily did. Like everything you're saying, like the story is, there's no way that the official story, it just doesn't make sense. That's all.
Well, I mean, because there are plenty of ways to get away from that, even from the 32nd floor, but you would have had to have had a team to assist in multiple points of egress and maintain one of those clear enough that you could get there in time. So you would have had to have, you know, patrols monitoring the hallways, a doorman right there to keep your point of egress secure from the room. And you know, multiple other, like, spotters outside, a wheelman, things like that, and people up there to man all of those guns, and, you know, maybe take a couple out of the room for your massive grand escape. So, I just, there are so many really simple ways to do this that do have a lot of moving parts, but none of them too hard to operate. And, you know, if somebody like me can think of something like that, then an insane person who literally has this low respect for human life might be willing to hire or be hired for something like this, as long as he thinks he can get away with it and finally provide people with the people he loved with a good lifestyle, you know, like basically the military. So, I mean, the idea that this is somehow isolate, that this guy has some exception from the rules, and that he wouldn't have tried to get away with it when it was so obvious that he wanted to. He didn't have a suicide note. He never wrote a manifesto. This wasn't fucking terrorism. The only way this was terrorism is if the U.S. government was involved and using this act of violence to justify their political bullshit. But he had no political bullshit. He had no religious bullshit. This is all about him and, you know, getting something out of it. So the entire story, the entire official narrative is utter shit.
I think we agree on that. Now, whether anything comes of that or not, I don't know. Maybe they'll come up with some sort of reasonable story that fits the evidence, but I'm not sure how you'd do that. It'd have to be quite the variant from what their present story is.
Yeah, I definitely agree.
Related to the politics of the issue, just a little, Harding was talking about potentially pursuing a guest that I don't want to use his name, that I'm familiar with, but bothered by, and it's a general issue that I have. I don't know if I've talked about it on the show or not. I've talked about it on some shows with quote unquote pacifist Christians who support various forms of government intervention in others' lives, and one of the biggest ones right now, obviously, after the Vegas massacre, is gun control. And what you have almost universally from Christians who are somewhat well known, who also call themselves pacifists. They're even well known, you know, relatively in the niche kind of Christian community. They're well known because of their pacifist stance, meaning they're against all violence, even defensive violence. There's a social media uproar about why we need government gun control. And one of the guests that we were talking about pursuing is one of these individuals who bother me so much, because I used to be an actual pacifist. Not like any, I didn't do any of this other support the state bullshit. But it's so dishonest and unthinking to call yourself, it's unthinking or it's completely dishonest, one of the two, to call yourself a pacifist and support the state. It doesn't make any sense whatsoever. You have no idea how the state functions.
Real quick, we've got the guest calling in.
Oh, we do? Okay. Introduce her. I'm going to change the video up and then we'll totally change topics.
Cool.
Hello.
What's up?
Not much. What's up with you?
Oh, nothing. That's all. All right. See you later.
See ya.
So, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself? This is Marcella from Twitter and from Liberty.me and various other places. She's fairly well known in the libertarian online community, and she does various posts and videos in various different places. Anything else you want to say?
Well, I don't think I'm very well known, but thanks for thinking that. I think you covered it. I think I just put my annoyances out on Twitter and see what comes back and connect with those like-minded people or not. But yeah, that's kind of what I do. Can you hear me? Not
Harding. Can you not hear her? Sorry, I'm working on changing the video up a little bit.
I just got a bunch of cut up real quick, but it's fine now, I think.
Okay, great.
Okay.
Yeah, I was silent working on other stuff. All right. Marcella, thank you for joining us today. Appreciate it. I was saying before when we were talking about that you might come on, that I do appreciate the way that you conduct yourself on social media. So thank you for that.
Thank you.
I think you represent the movement in a different way than some of us who tend to be more asshole-ish do. And I think that's great.
Well, I can be an asshole too. I was told I was being feisty the other night.
I don't really like that word. You know, I don't mind it, But I wonder how many dudes have been called feisty. You know, it feels like a real female thing. You know, like in terms of the way people think about you. Thick, Harding was saying you were talking about coming on to talk about thick and thin libertarianism.
Well, yeah, I mean, we can definitely talk about that. I mean, I think what I saw a couple years ago, and I think Jeremiah also saw this, or Harding saw this a couple years ago with, you know, libertarian themes, rhetoric, but an undertone of the social justice warrior tone, or I don't know, like that attitude. And that that annoys me.
So what would, well, let's define, can you define thick versus thin libertarianism?
Well, from my understanding, thin is kind of more of a, like a purist way to see it. Like, as long as people are, they believe in the non-aggression principle, that works. But I think the thick part is where, you can say whatever you are, progressive, socialist. I mean, it's kind of a, an oxymoron with a socialist part, but that you say you're non-aggressive principle, but you can believe some different things from libertarians. I guess that makes sense.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, and even kind of exclude people or see people as out who claim to be libertarians because they don't have the same sort of progressive views about culture that you do. Were you going to say, Jeremiah?
And it's, you know, it's not just progressive views in that sense. What it is it's more bleeding heart. It's more because we want our message to seem this way. Anything that does not seem this way, we will not accept. It's sort of a language and tone policing thing for the benefit of generally minority groups. So it can seem progressive, it can seem, you know, like liberal, but really it's just a totalitarianism wrapped up in libertarianism. Like you can act as though you're a libertarian even though you want to fundamentally control the way other people behave.
Yes, I'd agree with that.
You were talking about a social justice warrior mindset. Can you explain what you mean by that, or kind of give an example of how you saw that creeping in?
I think the term was, I mean, Harding, correct me if I'm wrong, it was that open letter to Ron Paul, kind of just...
Yeah, according to Massimino.
Yeah, thank you for saying his last name. I can't even pronounce it. I just was like, Massa something, but... They even went so far as to even redefine libertarianism, like that's the second wave libertarianism. And I don't really do that. I think you either believe in the non-aggression principle or you don't. Like, I don't understand these new terms. So, yeah, that was really appalling, especially since everyone knows I'm kind of I have a schoolgirl crush on Ron Paul. And so... Seeing that, having to defend that. Oh, good. Yeah. You have a schoolgirl crush going on. So seeing that on a Liberty site, having to defend Ron Paul, that was an eye-opener for me.
Yeah. Yeah, it is. I barely touch that world of libertarians who... It's not just Ron Paul. I mean, there's some fair criticisms to make about Ron Paul. I mean, his vote for... What was the act, authorization of military force in Afghanistan? And, you know, he's got a few things criticize him for, even just supporting the state at all. Sometimes he seems pretty close to being a voluntarist. But the things that he does get criticized for most are just absolutely absurd. And thankfully, I don't really interact with libertarians or anarchists who think or talk that way. I know they exist, and I'm like, what are these people even talking about? Why are you focusing on this?
Right. I mean, I do think, you mean the social justice warrior part?
Yeah. Yeah. That sort of attitude.
I do think there is a culture war I mean, we can all attest to that, like the things that we're seeing right now, but to just be that, that's your only platform. So I, what I try to do is there are other accounts that do that better than I do. I just kind of stay on with the ending the wars, ending the Fed, and unschooling, private schooling, just get your kids off of public school. So I, that's kind of my activism, is just trying to get people to see that they're the best leaders of their life.
Yeah.
To decentralize.
Right, right. The only culture war I want to really participate in is to fight for the culture that opposes aggression, to fight for the culture that opposes indoctrination, to fight for the culture that opposes evil, really. That's what it is at its essence. You know, anything else, I just can't get too excited about or motivated about. Yeah, if it's just people living their own lives, even in a culture that I don't like, that's fine. Who cares?
The thick libertarian argument would be that you should care, because if you don't, libertarianism will be overtaken by literal fascism.
When you don't understand what libertarian is, that sounds like a reasonable argument. Fucking Cantwell really gave him that one on a platter.
Well, they don't even know what fascism means either. So it's kind of funny that they use terms that they don't really go look for themselves. They just kind of take other people's word for it. And like, I really had a hard time with the word anarchist, because the mainstream media has done, you know, such a great job at making it sound just like a horrible, horrible thing.
Yeah, so have the commies. You know, destroying store windows. They're the ones that get the publicity. It's not, people aren't like, oh, wow, look at how great Murray Rothbard's new book was. It's, no, look at these guys broke a window.
Exactly. Well, and I think that's part of like the distraction, where people get into arguing those things rather than seeing like the fundamental thing, and it's violence. And that's what we should be opposing.
Well, aggression.
Aggression, yes.
Because I'm a violent person. If you attack somebody I'm associated with and don't dislike.
Absolutely, yeah. I misspoke. It was aggression, not necessarily violence. Okay.
But like at the same time, you know, I mean, fascism at its root is finding unity, is strength in unity, and the idea of strength in unity, and the reason they use the fast. Jesus, their symbol, is because it's a bundle of very normally very weak.
You're cutting out.
Yeah, you're cutting out for me too.
Yeah, all right. All right, we're going to have to give up on you, Mr. Harding. I hope you heard that. No, you're done. Maybe you should try reconnecting.
Better right now?
Oh, now
I
it's.
Can hear you.
Yep. Okay, yeah, he's reconnecting. One of the things that I, you know, comes to mind with just with this, what I think of with this whole culture war stuff, is that I really like a diversity of culture. I love a lot of differing viewpoints and perspectives and ways of functioning in the world and clothing styles and art, you know, all that stuff. It just is only reasonable that different cultures can coexist in a small space, and a wide variety of cultures can coexist in a small space if, for the most part, they share this cultural idea of non-aggression, which most people share inherently or are taught it at least at a very young age, but they just make a special exception for the government. But the way for diversity to be optimized in society is by having non-aggression as the foundation for the society. That's why it seems to be the only culture worth fighting for.
I agree with that. I think that cultures, like, they add such a richness, and, you know, especially I would consider myself a traditionalist. Like, there's a lot of different things that make a healthy culture, and like appreciating like your heritage and the things that have been passed down for generation to generation. And it seems to me those things are being challenged now. I read some tweet where even reading to your children is considered racist. Like, that is just nonsense.
What was the reasoning behind
that? Oh, I think it was from that Alice Smith account. I think she did it. She, I'm not sure. But it was all the stuff coming from Europe. This is, I mean, trust me, like, there's really a lot of degeneracy coming from America. But there's like some really good European accounts that will just kind of show the headlines, what's going on there. And that one was, wow. That's a new one.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a very interesting. I've seen, I think it was an article, not just a tweet, of someone explaining why parents shouldn't read to their kids because it gives them an unfair advantage over kids whose parents don't read to them. Like,
right,
be a shitty parent because of all the shitty parents that are out in the world.
Exactly. That was the article, but it was like reading, I think the headline that was supposed to grab you is, now reading to your kids is considered racist. I mean, anything can be labeled racist.
White people doing it. Not even Asians, who do extremely and exceptionally well in education, but white people, because everything racist equals white supremacy.
Yeah,
exactly.
It is kind of interesting how infrequently Asians get accused of being the problem, even though they're way more successful than white people overall in the U.S.
Well, it's even though they're more ethnocentric and definitely more jingoistic than we are, like the way that their imperial system works, the fact that there's a museum in China dedicated to hosting pictures of black people next to animals to show how similar they are. And, you know, the fact that actual racism exists, but it's not with white people, means that it doesn't exist, at least in the minds of the SJW culture narrative.
To me, right. Just in terms of, I think I've shared this on the show, but just thinking in terms of racial identity at all is, I think, destructive for a society. And even just categorizing people based upon race seems to have only inevitably negative effects in the world. Just to think that I should have some sort of stronger association with someone because their skin is as pale as mine is the dumbest thing I can imagine. And in real life, in generally speaking, people don't function that way at all. They function culturally and ideologically. Like, it does not matter if someone has green skin, if they are an advocate of non-aggression, I am going to be way more likely to interact with them in a way or feel a kinship with them than someone who literally looks exactly like me, but is against or is it for the state.
Right. Well, the market also deals with that very well.
Yes, which is beautiful.
Exactly. So individuals provide value. It has nothing to do with the color of your skin. If you are whatever your gender is now, I don't know how many there are now, but I mean, there's two, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
Or your sexuality. It's, do you provide value in the marketplace? And that is it. Like, that to me is another thing that libertarians could definitely be using for their shtick. I mean, some do, but that's such a powerful thing. The market, I don't think people realize what an amazing thing that is, that as you're providing for your own self-interest, you're going to be helping someone else too.
Yeah, like going back a little bit more specifically to thick and thin libertarianism, some of these thick libertarians, you know, in order to, you know, create a more just system, kind of insisted, I read a few articles, that libertarians get on board with the Black Lives Matter movement in order to you know, help get rid of racism or give us a good image in the culture at large by opposing racism, like most people do anyway. But I think what you're saying is even it's more potentially powerful, and it presents the message more clearly, which is to show and explain and it praise the fact that the market takes care of racism quite well in and of itself, mm-hmm. and that the state is responsible far more for systemic racism than, you know, some backwoods hick yes. in Tennessee. Yeah, historically speaking, it is many of their actions which have helped ingrain it in society and indoctrinate people. Oh, yeah.
Like, if you look at the history of the drug war, that is completely, like, if we're talking about racism, that yeah. is very racist. But what I was going to say is I usually will try to use something that's popular, like Black Lives Matter or some person that was shot by the police. Like, I'll go after police brutality right. rather than, like, just use Black Lives Matter. So that's where I'm trying to get back to for people to see. It's not just that this person was black or white or whoever. It's about the power structure. It's about police brutality yeah. when you want to get down to the brass tacks of something. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. To show that, not be so myopic about a subject. That is, you have to yeah. take a step back and see that it's not just this instance that's the problem. It's not some individual who doesn't like black people and therefore he shot a black person. That's the problem. That's missing it altogether. It's this mm-hmm. system that prosecutes itself and finds itself not guilty over and over and over and over again. You can't help but have mm-hmm. abuse. Yeah, the incentives, there are not the same disincentives for violating others as there should be and would be in a free market.
Absolutely. And I think, too, another part of going back to thick and thin libertarianism yeah, is I would love to make coalitions. Like, if you look at, you know, what people believe in and you know, how they vote or how they live their life, there's so many avenues. There's so many great talking points to get people that don't believe the way you do to kind of come around. But I think the main thing is living out the things you preach. That's going to set a better example than just words. And I think, too, as a strategy for ANCAP/libertarians, non-aggressive people, is to come out with this, like, solutions, like real, honest-to-goodness solutions to some of these things.
Yeah, I agree. That's it's so easy to identify the problem that solutions are much more difficult to actually come up with, especially because sometimes they require a lot of people. And we don't always have a lot of manpower.
Well, and like the solutions that are often necessary to dealing with a lot of the problems that the state has and a lot of the problems that the state creates and a lot of the problems that the state has monopolized problem solving in is the fact that if you try to solve those problems, the way you do it might only be legal for the state to do. And so because they've monopolized so many industries, it makes it seem like libertarians are ineffectual. But the truth is that if we tried to solve the problems, there's very little possibility we wouldn't be arrested.
Right. With anything, you'll incur risk, definitely. But yeah, these are all things to weigh against, you know, what you want to do. But I just think, when I see, like, if I'm on Twitter and I see these fights with people, and I do understand it, and I realize, like, when I look at libertarians, I know that they're stubborn, which equates to passion, and they're very logical, they're factual, and sometimes I wish it could be, like, there's a softer, kinder approach, because I just see when people look on the exchanges, I think a lot of people don't want to say anything if they generally have a question, because they think they're going to get just, you know, trolled, which I do think is a very good ANCAP skill to have.
All right. I have to get going. I feel like I kind of derailed your conversation a little bit. Is there anything else you want to say specifically on the thick versus thin or the next few minutes? Marcella, or any specific examples you wanted to bring up?
Sure. I think, you know, for others out there that are seeing these things play out on Twitter and you want to know what this person or that person thinks, if you're just principled and you just stick with the foundation of non-aggression principle, you're going to figure it out for yourself.
Yeah. The non-aggression principle definitely provides sort of a lens to view the world, which helps you make sense of a lot of it that might not have made sense before.
Absolutely. Well, thank you for having me on. This was great to talk to you.
Yeah, I'm really glad to have the opportunity to hear your voice and talk to you. So thank you for coming on.
And by the way, maybe, you know, in a couple of weeks, if you wanted to have your daughter on, I think you said that she knows quite a bit about alternative and private education. We might be able to do that, too.
Oh, that would be great. Yeah, she's right now going to college in Spain, which presents a whole other struggles with going to college level with in a different language. But yeah, she's very wise. Like, I think she'd really have a lot of fun with it.
Yeah, that sounds interesting. All right. Marcella, you want to plug anything?
I'm going to just plug follow the non-aggression principle.
Yeah, do that. All right. we'll link to the Twitter, her Twitter in the show notes page. She's worth a follow. Mr. Jeremiah Harding.
You're not paranoid. They are out to get you. Follow the conspiracies, build a Faraday cage, and smash the state.
Paranoia will destroy you.
Yeah, you can follow me on Twitter at JeremiahJM. I concur. You know, the system is out to get you. They'll protect you the same way that a farmer protects his cattle, so you can make money off of them and get what he wants. There's a few people in within the system that actually care about you, but all the incentives are to not give a shit. So always be skeptical and reasonable, you know, but like I try to say, find a way to enjoy your life and love just the things that you do. And I hope you have a good week. Peace.